ahead and call this meeting of the Chino Basin Watermaster Appropriate Pool to order. With that, are there any agenda additions or reorder by the members? By staff?
Just one on item C. We would like to report that we'll be amending the staff report as we go forward to require metering on the well for the intervention into the agricultural pool. We've received information from the city of Chino. They apparently had a hydrant meter there at one time, and it could well be a use that has more than 10 acre feet a year. So we need to make sure we meter and monitor that well.
Okay. With that, we'll move to item one, which is consent calendar.
I'll move to approve with the understanding of the changes associated with item C.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? No.
If you could help us, I heard the motion, but I didn't hear the second. Who made the second? If you could
repeat. Charles San Antonio.
We're going to try to keep record of that as we go now, so that we have it available not only for the other pools, but more quickly for the advisory committee.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Move to item two, business items. Item A, Watermaster Mid-Year Review Budget Transfers and Budget Amendments.
Joe is standing and will give you a brief presentation.
Good morning. Thank you, Ken. This is our second quarter financial review as of December 31st, 2011. If we look at the year-to-date, we have unbudgeted revenue of $294,776. Please keep that dollar amount in mind, because later on when we talk about amendments and transfers, that dollar amount of $294,776 will come into play. Our actual expenses, $3,578,307, compared to our budgeted expenses of $4,477,339, brings us in for the first 6 months and under budget on our expenses of $899,032. So basically, we've used a savings of about 20% of our budget. When we look at that $899,000 under budget, it breaks down to G&A expenses currently right now for the first 6 months are running over budget, $28,000. Our OBMP expenses are running about $60,444,000 under budget. And then we have our project expenses, which is running $867,119 under budget. The largest item in that category is the extensometer, which was budgeted at $365,000, which we're still working on, and later in the presentation we'll bring that into account, because we're going to need to fund that for more dollars, about $100,000 of that. Yes.
Real quick question: these numbers, projected expenses, all everything we're looking at is just a 50% of the overall annual budget?
No, there were two or three
prorated, or they
there
actual?
Were two or three categories that were front loaded. For example, the extensometer of $365,000, that was all front loaded in the first 6 months. There were also some couple other projects that were front loaded, which is one of the reasons why you've got such a high dollar budget. They were front-loaded for the first 6 months, but we're still working on the projects, and some of those we have not received the invoicing for.
And the $4.477 million is a roll-up of all of those front-loaded budgets?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thanks.
Hey, Joe, I have on the project expenses, is that, what is that again? Is that projected expenses or?
That is, well, the project expenses, that's all of the 7,100 categories. That is where we're at for the first 6 months. So,
but what you're saying is you're anticipating to spend that.
Yes.
Going
yes,
forward in
the next 6 months. Or if we're not going to spend it, we're going to reallocate it in some of the different areas.
So it's only low right now because you also sent some invoices. The projects have been done.
No, we're in the process of working on, for example, the extensometer, we're in the process of working on that, but we haven't received any of the billings yet. When we receive those, then this variance will drop. So right now, it's just a timing difference. If we look at one of the challenges of running the finance department, when you look at all of the categories, for example, and this one's salary expenses. Salaries are broken down into administrative, into OBMP, and then the project. So on a per line item, you could look at them, and some items are over budget, some are under budget. So one of the things that I do now is I basically take all of our salary expenses and I basically do a spreadsheet, which shows me where we're at as of right now. So if we look at our budgeted number, right now we've got staff costs down here of $670,000. Then we roll in vacation, sick, and holidays, the different things that we've got budgeted. We're showing $753,000 for the first 6 months. If we compare that to our actual, we're $750,000. So we're basically right at budget. So the important thing to note there is our salary budget isn't over budget. It's right at where we expected our salaries to be. If we look at the OBMP plan, again, same thing, kind of looking at it from a consolidated perspective, our OBMP budget right now, we had $624,000. We're running just slightly under that, so $35,000. So for the OBMP, while there's some categories that are over budget, some that are under budget, we're currently on the OBMP project, $35,000 under. If we look at the legal, and this is just strictly Brownstein, so again, very similar to the salaries expenses, we have some of our Brownstein that goes directly to the administrative, which is any of the accounts here in account 6070, the Water Master General. We also have the Brownstein costs that are allocated out to the pool. So, for example, if our Brownstein attorneys spend time on advisory committee or they have any activity regarding to that, then it gets charged there. Then in the OBMP kind of section, we have the large categories, you know, the Chino Airport plume, the paragraph 31 motion. When we combine all of those together and look at it from a perspective of the Brownstein costs, we had budgeted $373,000 compared to a budget of $350,000. So for right now, we're currently under budget by $23,000. The item to note, our total budget is $561,775. So you'll notice that there's three or four categories that, again, very similar to some of our other costs, we have them front-loaded. For example, the restated judgment. You see over here, our total budget for the year is $62,004. We basically front-loaded that because our expectation was the restated judgment would be a project that would be completed in the first 6 months. So you can see we've still got $44,000 left. Another category that we had front-loaded, if you look down, the desalter negotiations, we had $67,425 for the year. We've got that front-loaded, and currently that's running ahead of where we expected it to be. And then also on the paragraph 31 motion, we had budgeted for the year $39,002. We're currently at $39,002 for the first 6 months, but our expenses, $14,000. So you can see there's some categories above budget, some categories below, but when you take the whole entire project and look at it from a Brownstein billing, we're running $23,000 under budget. Now, obviously, if you look at this, this is what, about 67% of our budget. So if you look at it from just a logical perspective, we're halfway through the year. That would be 50% of our budget. We've actually got 67%. And if we're running at $350,000, just multiply it by two, that would get you at $700,000. We're budgeted at $561,000. Obviously, in the legal category, if everything continues the way it is, we're going to have a problem the next 2 to 3 or 4 months. Keep that in mind when we go a little bit further and talk about transfers and amendments. Finally, the other big project that we have, is the engineering and the different costs that are associated with that, with the Wildermuth and things. So again, if we take all of the categories that break down to the Wildermuth budget right now is $2.5 million. If we look at that 2.5, we've got the budget broken down over the first 6 months. And again, there's some of these categories that are front-loaded. For example, if you look at the 7107, that's the extensometer. We budgeted 365. We've got 365 front-loaded, so you can see we have no actual cost running against there, but yet we have our budget. There's also a couple, again, very similar to most of the other categories. There's some items that are ahead of budget. There's some items that are behind budget. But when you look at it from a six-month review, we had budgeted $1.6 million, our actual expenses of $1.1 million, so we're running $500,000 under budget. Again, looking at it from the holistic, complete, total, consolidated approach, categories under budget, some below, but when we look at it from the Wildermuth and other engineering costs, we're currently running fine. If we look at it from a projection of where we're going to be in the next 6 months, now we're projecting our budgeted expenses. We had originally an approved budget of $6.8 million. We're looking at projected expenses of $7,084,767. So we're going to be over budget by $211,580. How does that break down? We've got in the G&A budget, we've got $120,000 that we're going to need to fund. We've got the OBMP budget increases of $118,000. And we have project budget decreases, which means we're basically going to move some money around to either fund categories up in the OBMP. So again, when you add those three numbers together, you come up with a $211,580. So now let's move forward and look, how are we going to, or what do we need, and why do we need this $120,000 transfer, for example, in the G&A? If you recall, we had a former CEO, Desi Alvarez, and we have our current interim CEO, Ken Jeske. When we budgeted, we only budgeted for one CEO. Well, basically, currently right now, we have two on the books. So obviously, we're going to have some additional costs there. That's where the $120,000 is coming from. When we look at the Wildermuth and other engineering, every quarter we have Wildermuth provide a estimated cost of completion report, and they have done that for us. And we have basically gone through, so example, if you look right now, on the Wildermuth budget, they had OBMP engineering, $256,209. They're projecting that they're only going to need $224,304. So this gives me $31,000 that I can reallocate within the budget. On the basin, on the modeling, they had budgeted $204,000. They projected that they're going to need another $150,000. So that means that I've got to find some money. So again, if you recall the numbers before, we were looking $118,095. That's where, right there, that's where these numbers are coming from. Then you can look at all the different categories down here. For example, the extensometer, we originally budgeted that, the whole entire project at 602, they're looking closer to $1 million, so we've got to reallocate or find $400,000. Combining all of these different items together, basically the Wildermuth altogether, $91,580 of funds that we're going to need to find. Again, if you just hold on for just a little bit, I'll show you how we're going to do that. The one item, again, legal that I mentioned before, currently right now, if you just simply take where we're at in the first 6 months, multiply that by two, that basically says, assuming that everything stays the same, we're going to be at $700,000. Our budget is only $561,000, so obviously we've got a problem. If we kind of project into the future in the next 6 months, we know that there's two items of cost that we're not going to have going forward. One of them is the replenishment water. That project and that activity is basically completed. And then the desalting negotiations, theoretically, that has all been completed. So those two categories that were in the first quarter will not fall into the second quarter. But then if we look into the second quarter, items that we either didn't have in first half, or items that we know we're going to have. We've got the storage agreement issues. You know, none of us know where that's going to be, but Brownstein is projecting that could be anywhere between $25,000 to $75,000. And then we have the recharge master plan, additional work on that. That could run anywhere between $25,000 to $75,000. So where does that put us? And that puts us, if everything runs at the $25,000 mark at the lower end, that means we're going to be bringing the legal budget in at about $649,000 or $87,000 more than what we have budgeted. At the worst case, if these projects actually run an additional $150,000, we're going to be $187,000 over budget.
Joe, I think it's important to note that that budget in the past has run in the range that we're projecting or even higher at times. There was a big effort to do budgetary controls this year and simply budget less. But that by budgeting less, it doesn't create a lesser workload. There was even efforts in the first 6 months of the year, and particularly by the prior CEO, to try to limit and control the amount of work or advice that Watermaster Legal Counsel was giving out. And that did not meet acceptance with all the parties. So the workload there, it's as much party driven as it is Watermaster driven, and it's something we talked about yesterday in the meeting on reserve policies. Was we probably need to budget accurately if we want to look at reserve policies that are different from the policies that we have today. We're going to try our darndest to control costs as much as we can. But it does look like legal expenses, and when you look at some of the challenges facing us, that budget, those expenses are going to run pretty typical with the last 2 or 3 years. That we're not going to be able to cut them $200,000 like we were hoping.
Mr. Chairman, if I may. When we went over the budget, didn't we reduce the reserves for legal expenses?
There was discussion of creating a legal contingency. That was not done this year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was probably let Jill finish because I have several questions, and actually appreciate the detailed information because it allows us to ask questions.
Going forward, and one thing to note, I'm bringing this to everyone's attention with regards to legal. We do know that we theoretically are going to be over budget, but right now I'm not requesting or bringing any motions or any requests to transfer funds. I'm just bringing this from a financial perspective, letting everyone know it looks like we're going to have problems, and when we do have problems, that way everyone's been fully informed.
Okay.
How are we going to pay for these different shortages, the $211,000? Basically, we had this year some additional revenue that came in from Metropolitan Water, which we did not expect. That was $296,000. So basically, we're taking that $296,000, and we're only going to use leave a balance of $83,000 out there. We're going to pull $211,000 of that extra found money, whatever you want to call it, whether it be a windfall. Basically, it's money that we did not budget, so it was not ever factored into our budget. So we're going to appropriate and allocate $211,580 of those dollars. $120,000 is going to go for the staff salary costs for the CEO items that I mentioned. And then we're going to move $91,580 into the extensometer project. That basically then brings the whole entire extensometer project up to $457,525. There's also some other budgeted items that actually brings us up to about $485,000. And right now, the estimates from Wildermuth, and I believe Mr. Green will talk about that in a little bit, are around $485,000.
Joe, it's important to note here, this is one-time revenue. And so throughout my career, I've had a number of finance people talk to me about ongoing revenue versus one-time revenue, ongoing expenses versus one-time expenses. That's one-time revenue. Those are both one-time expenses. Neither of those are ongoing expenses. So it seems very appropriate to use the one-time revenue for the one-time expenses. That doesn't build your annual operating.
Ken, how's it the metropolitan revenue, one-time revenue?
There is an ongoing revenue that was not received in the past, so you're receiving several years' worth in 1 year.
But we're going to receive a portion of that.
There will be a piece of it every year, but that will be handled with the budget process in future years.
And again, just to note, the $296,000, we're using $211,000, so that basically leaves going forward about $83,000. If everything else stays the same, we've got an additional pool of funds that we could appropriate of $83,000. So we're not using it all. We're using a large percentage of it, but we're still leaving some of it basically in kind of the savings account. And that is, that's a budget amendment. That's something, again, it was not part of the budget, so we're requesting that we can now appropriate those funds and move around some budget numbers. The budget transfers, basically, if we go back and look at the policy, the CEO has full authority to move funds within a category up to $25,000. Anything above $25,000 needs to be brought to the pools. Basically, for purposes of transparency, regardless of what we do, whether we move a dollar, we're bringing it through the pool so that there's no questions, there's no hiding of funds. It's very transparent, so everyone knows exactly what we're doing. Basically, this form, the budget transfer form, so we've got some categories within the OBMP that are within the projects that are under budget. There's some that are over. Basically, if you notice, this is a zero-based document. So basically, we're just reallocating money within the projects according to the ECAC report that Wildermuth provided. So basically, Wildermuth has said in these categories we're going to be short, in these categories we're going to be over. Utilizing those their assumptions, we've reallocated the funds. And with that, I am certainly open to questions, comments, concerns.
Thanks, Joe. Any questions for Joe?
I have several of them. I really appreciate the detailed breakdown. Some of my questions were really more directed to, I guess, Wildermuth, just trying to understand some of the items in here. So since Mark's not here, maybe I'll hold off on doing those. But Joe, I did have one question on the total Wildermuth budget where you stated it is $2.25 million is what's in, I guess, Water Master's budget, and then there's an anticipated $300,000.
$300,000. Correct. If you look at some of the documents, the Wildermuth budget, which encapsulates Wildermuth Engineering, but also all of their subcontractors and lab costs, that was approved at $2.2 million. We've got the $300,000 that we budgeted for the extensometer. That was, I guess technically it's really not part of the Wildermuth budget, but yet it's part of the overall project. So for clarification, the Wildermuth budget is 2.2. When we roll in the additional cost of the extensometer, it's 2.5.
Here's my question. If for some reason Three Valleys does not contribute the $300,000, is the Wildermuth budget going to stay at 2.25, or are they going to spend the projected $2.6 million?
We received a $300,000 last week.
Okay. I assume if they said no, it's the same answer would be it'd be $2.6 million.
Yes.
Okay. And then could you pull up the legal summary you had there?
This one? Oops, sorry. This one?
No, the other summary, where it highlighted where the increases were going to be.
All the projections?
Yeah. There you go. And I'll go back. Ken, when did you retire from Ontario?
Mid 2009.
Okay, so roughly 2.5, 3 years ago? roughly 3 years ago. I remember 3 or 4 years ago.
It's too long ago.
Three or four years ago, we initiated a process. Mainly it was driven by the advisory committee, and it was the then city manager of Chino Hills, Doug LaBelle, to really sit down and address what we were concerned about, which is water master governance slash process issues. And out of that process, we said really the main issue was probably process related rather than governance. And we had committed to go through and develop a bunch of procedures and policies more inclined with what most agencies do, which kind of sets forth the way we do business. And we never followed through with any of that. And you can't help but wonder if, you know, one of the major items that we're struggling with is this whole paragraph 31 motion, that if we had followed through with those procedures, we may not be having this conversation today about motion 31 and the large financial impact that ultimately could have on our ratepayers. But embedded in this is I still see some of the underlying issues which create those process problems. The $42,000 which was spent on replenishment water was mainly driven by the then CEO's opinion that we need to do storage in a different way. It didn't matter if the way we had been doing it was consistent with our rules and regulations. There was a desire to change. There were some opinions of support on that, and as a result of that, we probably spent $42,000 on unnecessary expenditures. And then I'm looking down here on the second one, is storage agreement issues that, again, people's opinion that there's issues with storage in the basin, which everything we're doing is consistent with all the agreements and the judgment and peace agreement. Yes, again, looks like it's going to result in, you know, expenditures anywhere from $25,000 to $75,000 in unnecessary expenses, which again, we're ultimately going to have to go back to our ratepayers and ask them to foot a bill for things that are really, in Monta Vista's opinion, kind of irony of saying that, is these are people's opinions which are driving unnecessary expenses. So, you know, maybe if we can, once we get through all these things, if we can recommit to develop those process and procedures that we had talked about 3 or 4 years ago, some of these expenses that we're struggling with, we won't have to deal with them in the future.
I recall that process. In fact, I recall discussing it with some of the staff, I think as recently as yesterday, because I've been searching through files in the office to see if I can find the latest edition of that, and to determine if that's something to finish work on and bring forward. I haven't been able to find anything that looked at all near the end of the process where we're at. So if anyone else who was in that process has some records on it, I'm kind of searching high and low to find it. I have found an earlier draft. I'm pretty confident that we'll eventually get to somewhere. I think you do raise a point that for several years it was put on the shelf. There's a host of reasons for that. It got put on the shelf with the whole water auction activity, and then it didn't get picked up again subsequently, and then there's been some changes. And the items that you pointed out, frankly, are items that you gave what you feel is a reason for those, and the reason for those has been corrected by the Water Master Board. So hopefully we can get back on the same track in the future. But if you have some ideas and concerns or other thoughts on this that you would like to get, please share them with Joe or I, so when we come back with future budget reports, and particularly on the legal item, we can have good information for you.
We can't change your replenishment expense. We can hopefully minimize the storage agreement issues by mainly seeing if there are storage agreement issues. Maybe simply misunderstandings that are occurring.
Yeah. And again, some of them, parties have rights to make filings or to bring issues, and some of those do require review, even when we think we know what the right way is to handle them. And that's not a controllable expense level. That's an expense level only controlled in the aggregate by the whole group.
Well, as I recall, a couple years ago, these issues were surfacing, there was discussion about, and I think work had been started on developing a policy manual and so forth. And I think clearly, too, over the last several months, we've seen a change amongst the parties and a willingness to, you know, work together in a collaborative process without legal counsel in attendance at every meeting. And so I think that, you know, the process has already sort of restarted again, and maybe we need to dust off some of the work that has been done in the past and continue along the path that we've presently chosen to, you know, work in an effort to ultimately reduce a lot of these costs and that may be opinion associated. So are there any other questions?
Just one question. Joe, on the legal expenses, which is one of the items we're over on, how much of that budget is for the paragraph 31 stuff?
The budget on the paragraph 31 is this item right here. It is...
I can't see that.
Is that 39,200?
Okay, so that's what's in the budget, or that's...
That's what's in the budget for this year, and for the first 6 months, we've spent $14,000.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Joe? I think the staff's recommendation is to receive and file this report. Are they approvals?
Receive and file the report, but take action.
But take action on the items.
And budget transfers.
Just to recommend the budget transfers.
Okay. Okay. Do I have a motion in that regard?
Motion to approve.
Yeah, motion by Pomona.
Second.
Second. I didn't hear who that came from.
Chino.
Chino. Okay, thank you. Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? No. Okay, we'll move to item B, business items. Chino Creek Wellfield Extensometer Construction Change Order Reimbursement Agreement.
This is a reimbursement agreement between Watermaster and the CDA. The CDA has contracts already out there for well drilling, so this would be using those existing contracts and the benefits of low mobilization charges and things like that to piggyback off those for the drilling for the extensometer. This pertains to the drilling activity of the extensometer, and it's a reimbursement agreement back to the CDA. I don't know how much detail you all want on it. It's for $295,000 plus a 10% contingency with the authority to enter the CEO to enter into the agreement with any minor non-significant changes as we finish our discussions.
Okay. Any questions for Ken? We have a motion to approve staff recommendation.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Passes. Okay, item C is the Chino Creek Wellfield Extensometer Land Lease Agreement.
Well, we need land to put the extensometer on. It's been the subject of a couple of reviews here, and we've been attempting to negotiate with the county. Last time we reported that we thought the lease price was extremely excessive, so we started looking for an alternate site. In addition to doing that, I also contacted both county council and county real estate, talked to them about what their price was, asked that they really take another look at it, and they found they had made an error in their calculation. And so the monthly rent went from $1,385 a month to $133 a month. And at that level, We think it's appropriate to finish negotiations. It's important to get the sextantometer in before the wells start pumping. So, again, this is to approve the term sheet and the CEO to finish the negotiations with the county.
Okay. Questions for Ken on this item?
I got a question for Ken. What's the size of that land that we're leasing?
Oh, the ultimate lease, I think, is very small. It's about 40 square feet, 400 square feet.
Okay. Thank you.
And the term of the lease is 10 years?
Term is 10 years with renewals.
Okay.
With renewals. And the lease price has a CPI in what we've talked about with county real estate. But it's certainly a small amount per year. Mm-hmm. This is the preferred site by the engineering staff that is looking at the best place to recover the best data to monitor not only subsidence but other groundwater levels.
Gary, can you point it out on the map approximately where it is?
There we go. It is roughly this location.
Okay.
Probably a little further to the west than that red dot is, but very close up against the fence line. Essentially, we're trying to put it close to the property lines, fence line, so that minimizes impact on any future activities on the site.
Okay, any other questions for staff? We have a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. Passes. Okay, move to item three, reports and updates. Watermaster General Counsel report. We don't have one here today, so.
General Counsel just wanted to state that a tentative opinion was received. There has been a request for a hearing. The hearing is not yet scheduled. When it is, everybody will be notified.
Okay. B is CEO staff report.
A fairly short report today. We have kicked off work on the recharge master plan update. We've had two meetings. We've developed a draft outline, which has been circulated. The next meeting is Tuesday. I believe it's at 9 a.m. here in the Water Master offices. I'll be meeting with Mark Wildermuth tomorrow to final some other information that we need for that meeting. But that's a meeting that's generally open to everybody so that we have a collaborative process in reviewing the 2010 and developing update. But I'm very encouraged from the last meeting. We heard a lot of ideas. I did not hear as many divergent views as people might have expected going into the meeting. So it was a good meeting. We thank everyone for their input, and we look forward to getting a report to the court in a timely manner and also to develop a work plan for the next several years, amending the existing 2010 plan.
Very good.
On the well design for wells 20 and 21, I'll actually report on three of them, 19, 20, and 21. This was where we had a request from the state to put an annular seal between the two water zones. Well 20, just so there's no confusion, had already been drilled and gravel packed, and it's not possible to get that in that particular well. 19 and 20, the design has been amended, and that annular seal will be placed in. As reported to us, even without that, the expected transfer among zones is expected to be somewhere around a gallon a minute, so it certainly is a de minimis level. The third one is on data release procedures, and I believe this one relates to releasing data for the agricultural pool well sampling. Is that correct, Danny?
I think so.
Yes. And I just wanted to report that we're moving forward with it. It's of greatest interest to the agricultural pool, which is why It is on the agenda. But you will recall there was sampling done at some of the private wells as a result of concerns on the South Archibald Plume. The agricultural pool had asked that we release that data to the well owners and property applicants, and we're putting together a process to do that so that it's not confusing data and information, and so that the any person who gets the information would clearly understand the point where they could go on water quality information. Our recommendation is that is not Water Master, but rather regulatory agencies that are responsible for water quality in small water systems.
That it, Ken?
That's it.
Any questions for Ken? Okay, with that, we've got next time information. There's cash disbursements for January and some newspaper articles in the packet. Are there any pool member comments? Seeing none.
I have one, Mr. Chair. We're trying our best to look at various costs and ways to make these meetings simple. The item you just mentioned, newspaper articles, that does consume time and paper to prepare. Are those valuable to you? Do you want us to keep doing that? Or we're going to ask all three pools the same question. If they're not important to you, we'll save trees.
Well, there's two things, Ken. It's how much time do you think it takes to tabulate it and put it?
Well, every day we have someone go through, and I mean, we can look. There's it's not just the local newspaper; right. It's other newspapers and articles, and sometimes it's whatever people bring to our attention. But I can guarantee you, we miss things, and I can guarantee you, we put things on there that maybe aren't pertinent at all to us.
It's generally stuff I've already
seen. This started, I think, about 5 years ago or so when Ken Manning came here. And I've really never heard anybody say they read them or don't read them. So.
Is it, Ken, possible to do this in a way that maybe takes less effort? Maybe it's just something on Water Master's website as opposed to the pool package?
Yes. It still takes the search time.
Yeah.
It just saves the paper copies for the board members and for you all when you're printing them out.
I think there's other sources of the same information, and that's, I mean, most of the stuff that's in the packet, from my personal perspective, I've either seen mm-hmm. or have seen somewhere else. So I would say that if you don't already do it, maybe you should subscribe to the Brown and Caldwell newsletter, because it pretty much picks up all this stuff. So I'd suggest, you know, from my perspective, that it'd be something that if it takes that much time, that perhaps we consider just not doing it.
Yeah. I'd agree. These things, we go through that process ourselves, putting information together and distributing it to staff within our organization. So we already see all this stuff.
Right.
Well, you just saved a third of the packet.
Yeah.
That mean the cost for the Water Masters are going to go down, or?
I don't think it's going to. I wish it would, but we're using staff to do it, and I'd rather staff do the chores you want them to do.
Well, and that's a simple thing, and if it saves time, I think it's a good thing. So, if there's no disagreement with that, then I think it would be the pleasure of this pool to stop providing that information. So. With that, we'll go to the next item, which is pool member comments. Are there any members of the pool that have any comments? Seeing none, is there any other business to come before the pool? None? We had a special meeting on Tuesday, and so I don't believe there's any call for a confidential session today. You see the there is one item on there. Do we need to? I didn't notice that, Ken.
There is an item on there, and you may. This is your opportunity to provide input to the board on the CEO search process. So I would encourage you to have a quick closed session and provide.
Okay, my oversight. I didn't see that. So at this point, if there is no other business, then we'll move to confidential session. Discuss issues related to CEO search. Okay, we'll come out of closed session back into regular session, and there's no reportable action. And with that, we final item on the agenda is some dates of some future meetings. As Ken noted, there's a Recharge Master Plan Committee. Next committee meeting is on the 14th of February. I hope to see you then. And with that, we adjourn.